This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in. It's Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson alongside Amal Shaw on what is a very odd Tuesday in the betting world, in the sports world. Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon here on the program, Amal, last night. Obviously, everyone has pretty much been up to date at this point. They're aware of what's going on. Aaron Rodgers, for those who missed it, ruptured Achilles. He's going to miss the rest of the season. Four plays into his Jets debut, and all of a sudden, things are over. And I know you, as someone who bet on New York, plus 117 on the money line last night, I know you were watching that game and really sweating it out late, huh?
Dustin is being completely facetious because he knows when Zach Wilson threw that interception, I was ticked off. I turned off the TV. He sent me a text. He goes, I guarantee you don't even know the Jets won the game. So I had to go back and watch the highlights. Luckily, I record all the games, so I watched it. But I tell you what, man, I didn't think they had a prayer. Think about this. They had a 90-plus yard drive for a field goal. It was a four-play drive. Breece Hall runs the ball. The next two plays, they run it. Third down's an incomplete pass out of bounds. This team's offense seems like it's going to sputter a little bit, unfortunately. I know Garrett Wilson was expecting to have a huge season. This receiving core, the defense looks electric for the Jets. And I know we're going to talk about Rodgers. Can we talk about the fact that Josh Allen should never, ever be mentioned again with the class of Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, or any of these dudes? This guy is an absolute turnover machine.
No. We'll get into that in a moment. Let's stick on Rodgers briefly here, just because the buildup was so insane. Like, I don't know if we've ever had an offseason built up quite like Aaron Rodgers going to New York was. Like, I went back and looked. My first bet I placed for this upcoming season was on the Jets to win the Super Bowl, 25-1, back on February 13th. February 13th, we were already anticipating the Jets being aggressive in the offseason, making a move, and looking for that piece at quarterback that would take them over the hump because, as you mentioned, Amal, they already had an elite defense. Yeah. They brought in a bunch of weapons. They drafted Garrett Wilson. Good God, that catch last night was absolutely absurd in the end zone. And it looked like all the pieces were there waiting for Rodgers or another quarterback to come in and save the day for the Jets. That's when I started betting them. That ticket is all about dead at this point. I don't know if I could sell it for pennies on the dollar.
You're absolutely right. It's going to be tough to back the New York Jets to win the division. The Miami Dolphins were 3-1 to win the division before the season started. You saw the Jets around 2 and change, Buffalo the favorite. But now things have absolutely turned. Miami is the favorite based on the offensive performance we saw out of them. Their defense still has some questions. But the New York Jets, whose defense looks Super Bowl caliber in week one already, in my opinion, holding the Buffalo Bills to just 16 points. They give up a field goal after that turnover. They were tremendous in terms of what they were able to do. Whitehead with 3 interceptions last night. What a great start to the season he had. But losing Rodgers impacts not only this passing game, but it impacts the running game. Because we saw what Breece Hall is capable of coming off a torn ACL in just a couple of carries. Now you don't have that vertical threat you were expecting to have with Rodgers. Zach Wilson just doesn't appear to have the confidence. Maybe things can change. If you're Zach Wilson, you got a second shot at redemption here. You could turn everything around. You could be a star in New York if he can get this team in the right direction.
Well, a couple notes, right? One aspect of this team that we were concerned about coming into the year, Mal, was their offensive line.
Yep.
And their offensive line, an issue on the play where Rodgers gets hurt as he gets sacked.
Yeah.
Also, I think that turf played a role in that. We could probably discuss that in a little bit here. But now Zach Wilson's going to step in a situation where, let's be fair to Zach Wilson. I'm not a Zach Wilson guy. You're not a Zach Wilson guy. I never saw it at BYU in a 2020 shortened season where BYU didn't play anybody. I never understood the hype behind him. I know a lot of quarterback people did, including Tim Jenkins, who will be on the show in a little bit, 4:45 p.m. Eastern time. Zach Wilson's walking into a situation right now where while that offensive line is substandard, it's still better weapons than he's pretty much ever had. When you talk about two running backs, when you bring in Cook and you have Hall, you have Wilson, another year of experience, but also Lazard, a few other guys they added in the passing game.
I tell you one thing, if there's another Cook brother out there, you want him on your team. Whether it's Dalvin, James, or whomever it may be, these guys can run the football. You mentioned it, with having Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook, it's going to be a great 1-2 combo for the entire season for the Jets. Mekhi Becton at times looked good, at other times looked rusty.
Yeah.
You know, there was a great pullout on a run block he had where he took out two guys at one time. Got a good 2-for-1 special. But, again, the offensive line is going to be concerned. Now, Zach Wilson does give you more mobility than you would get out of Aaron Rodgers. But we're going to get a real test and an idea of two things coming up next weekend. how good this offensive line is going up against the Dallas Cowboys and how good Zach Wilson can be, or how concerned and how scared is he going to be going forward. And by the way, there's a guy from San Mateo, California, sitting around somewhere in Foxborough, maybe in the Massachusetts area, that's available by the name of Tom Brady.
So that line goes from 3 last night, Cowboys favored, to 8.5, 9 in some books. So if you got down before the game and you like the Cowboys coming off that performance against the Giants, you got a fantastic number here. Great chance to lock in a profit based on however you bet it. But now it's like almost unbettable at this point. You can't touch that game and see what happens. You brought up Tom Brady. To me, I don't want to be sensationalistic here, but it absolutely is 100% the best possible move for the Jets at this point.
Well, look, I said all along, if LeBron wanted to ever actually have a chance to be fictitiously the GOAT, he should have gone and won a title in New York. The Lakers have won a billion titles, right? They won 10 titles before LeBron got there in the last 30 years anyway. If he wanted to win, go to New York and win. If Brady goes to New York and think about this. You own Boston. You own, Northern California people love you. Michigan people love you.
It's not just winning in New York either, though. Winning for the Jets even winning for the Jets, I think, is even above winning for the Knicks, which have been just absolutely abysmal not my entire life, but the last, 10, 15 years. The Jets, when I watched what happened to Rodgers happen yesterday, I thought as a Mets fan, you know what? They have it worse. It is much worse to be a Jets fan. To me, Tom Brady walks in. This situation's better than what he had with the Buccaneers a year ago. This defense is better, right? We both like the Bucs defense, but this defense is better, and you've got Garrett Wilson, a guy who can just make those plays after the catch. He can go up and get it in the end zone. He can take away so many mistakes that an older Tom Brady can make, but also Tom Brady's known for getting rid of the ball quickly. That could be the elixir against what is a weak offensive line for New York.
Yeah, you know, Woody Johnson, he could maybe give that chain that he had on last night to Tom Brady to entice him to come to play for the Jets. Look, I know you're absolutely right, and I'm not trying to say that, but look, Zach Wilson, to me, put a dark cloud over this team last night. Just in terms of, I think everyone was so excited. You saw how well the defense was playing. Then you lose the franchise quarterback 4 plays into the season. Now, how do you get that turned around? I don't care what it does to Zach Wilson's confidence or his
self. No, doesn't matter.
Yeah, you've got a team that's built to win right now.
He's benched anyway.
But let's look at the AFC. Miami, as great as they are offensively, they've got questions defensively.
Oh, yeah.
The Chargers.
Same for the Chargers.
Exactly. The Kansas City Chiefs have some concerns now. Jones is back in the mix for people that missed it.
Yep.
He ends up signing a contract for a 1-year deal. He'll be back with them in Jacksonville. The Jaguars are still a vulnerable team. They didn't play great. They did win the game against Indianapolis. I think the AFC is absolutely up for grabs. And I said this to you yesterday. There is something wrong in Western New York with the Buffalo Bills.
Yes, yes. We're going to get to that next. But you made a couple points I want to react to here first. One, the black cloud.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Robert Saleh last night when he went to meet with the media. He had not known for sure what the injury was, but he had some concerns. This is how he sounded last night.
Deal with the quarterback real quick. Concerned with his Achilles. MRI is probably going to confirm what we think is already going to happen. So prayers tonight, but it's not good.
So to your point, Amal, he's so despondent. He's such a wreck over that. You can hear the emotion in Robert Saleh there. Why? They're all in on this year. You can't give up on being all in on this year because you lost Aaron Rodgers. You made other sacrifices to get here and get to this point. To me, you must go out and add a quarterback. Some interesting names that were thrown out. Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN, who was on the show last week, he said, look into a trade for Matt Stafford or Jameis Winston. Are either of them the answer?
Matthew Stafford could be, not Jameis Winston.
Try to have Matt Ryan or Colt McCoy.
Did anyone watch Matt Ryan play in his last year? Colt McCoy,
I don't know. He said, call Tom Brady's agent, but it's very unlikely.
I could see why Mike Tannenbaum's not a GM anymore. Colt McCoy? I'd rather have Zach Wilson.
I agree. Carson Wentz?
No.
Sam Darnold?
What, Zach Wilson's not going to make enough turnovers?
Phillip Rivers?
No, because New York is already overcrowded. Yeah. Can't be bringing another 20
people. The last name I can give you is Nick Foles, but I'd rather ride with Zach Wilson.
Look, I think the Matthew Stafford one's a good move.
Absolutely, because they would love to tank for a better pick. The question is, what kind of pick can the Jets give up? Remember, if Rodgers doesn't play, I believe it's 70% of the snaps. Michael Lombardi tweeted this out yesterday. If he doesn't play 70% of the snaps, it goes from a first-round pick to a second-round pick back to Green Bay.
So it's going to be a second-round pick now.
Yep.
We already know that.
Yeah.
So The other concern is next year. He's got 2 years guaranteed. The third year is there, but the first two are guaranteed $75 million. Here's the problem. From the Achilles injury, we've seen it in other sports. We've seen it in football. Guys don't seem to recover as well. And you look at the fact that Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old.
It's a long rehab.
Somebody asked me today, do you think he's going to want to do it? Right? Like, you reach a certain stage and
he almost didn't play this year at all.
I mean, does he decide to walk away? I'm telling you, when I watched that defense last night, I sat there and I thought about 10 teams and they go, man, if we had this defense, we'd already be getting sized for rings.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're in a great spot. I don't think you can just let the whole season go down the drain. This happened week one. There is time to get someone else in there who can help you win important ball games and lead you to the postseason. Because for the Jets, they need to get to the postseason.
Well, if I'm the Jets, I'm telling you right now, I go to the Rams and say, listen, give us Matthew Stafford. We'll give you our number one first round pick next year because you're safe. It's not going to be going to Green Bay.
Yes.
Second thing you do is maybe you give it something else, a first and a third. I don't know what it is, but I'm willing to mortgage a season. I know a lot of people are critical of the Rams that they mortgage their future to win a Super Bowl. To me, it gives you 10 to 15 years of lead time. By the way, Detroit, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Buffalo. Last time I checked, I have not seen a Lombardi trophy in their case.
It's all justified. Every move you make is completely justified if you win a ring.
Yeah.
That's all. You win one ring. The Rams won one ring, sacrificed all those picks. They're in salary cap hell right now. Every move they made is completely justified because they won a Super Bowl. And that's all you need to do if you're the Jets. That's how you need to approach this. You're either all in or you're all out. They've been all in. Stay all in.
I'll tell you one thing on that Cowboys line you mentioned. I just hope it keeps creeping up.
All right. We'll get into that a little bit later. Some of the biggest line moves from week two. Also, have to look at how last night impacts the Bills. Josh Allen. Is he really a franchise quarterback? That's coming up next. It's Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games, and who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SHARP to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code SHARP, the crown is yours. Welcome back to the program, Sharp Money. Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with Amal Shaw. Thrilled right now to have one of our guys on. Brooks Austin is going to join us here. Absolute monster when it comes to breaking down film in college football. You can check him out over at the Film Guy Network on YouTube. He's got videos up right now on the SEC. Is it a down year for them? Is Texas legit? What we learned about Georgia in week two. Looks back on the mistakes Georgia made against Ball State and college football teams across the country. He's got it all covered. Also, he's the head recruiting guy over at SI Fan Nation, so he can talk about all these prospects. I think we got Brooks with us now. Brooks, can you hear me, buddy?
Man, how are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're doing great, man. I want to know, coming off Alabama getting taken down by Texas. Texas as good and as many known commodities this season as we've ever had them have. How good is this Texas team? Are we talking college football playoff good?
It was really interesting to watch their game plan. They went into that football game not having a tremendous amount of success throwing the ball deep, right? I think Quinn Ewers was 0-for-7. On throws beyond 25 yards past the line of scrimmage against Rice. That's how they won the game against Alabama, and they called the game exactly like that. So if you can go into that environment and say what you want about Tuscaloosa, when there's a big game, they get up for it out there. It's loud, it's raucous, it's a night game. It was big, a lot of stakes. If you can play confident and play loose and execute in a game like that, you can pretty much do it anywhere. So, yeah, I think they're 100% legit in terms of a national title contender.
Let's go to the other side of that. Alabama comes up with a loss there, Brooks. What do you make of this team? Because the SEC West doesn't look like it may be as strong as it's been in years past.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you look at it, go back to 2017. It's Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, and then Bryce Young. They've had 6 years of bona fide NFL quarterback play, and that's not exactly what we saw this past weekend. So when you go back to the drawing board at Alabama, you basically got to redesign your entire offense on what we thought you were going to try to do this offseason, which was, hey, we're going to be a bully ball, run the football type of football team, and then take shots. I think if there's one thing that Jalen Milroe showed that he could do Saturday night, it was throw a miraculous deep ball. They can certainly blow the top off the defense and draw enough eyes into the box with his legs if they commit to running the ball. It was interesting. We heard all offseason about how this was an open quarterback battle and how it was very, very close and all this. And then they almost called a game as if they were afraid to get him hurt running the ball. There was very few designed quarterback runs. If you're going to be an Alabama offense predicated on Milroe's legs this year, then you're going to have to use them, man. You're going to have to put them in the game with the run game. But, man, Alabama had holes on that roster, and you saw those get exposed, right? They're starting a true freshman at safety. I felt like Sarkisian and that Texas unit kind of picked on Caleb Downs, despite how great he is. Caden Proctor, they're starting a true five-star freshman at left tackle. He got called on two massive holds during that football game as well and gave up a couple of sacks. So you see them dependent upon young guys at key positions, and they got called upon and called out on Saturday night for sure against Texas.
Brooks Austin with us, SI Fan Nation Director of Recruiting, also the lead editor over at Dogs Daily, which brings me to my next question here, Brooks. We've seen kind of a conservative approach from the two-time defending national champions in the Bulldogs. Now they're going to take on South Carolina, an SEC East matchup. The Gamecocks catching 27.5 points. How do you expect this game to go down with Carson Beck? Do you expect them to open things up more offensively for him? Or do you think they stick with what they've done so far in their first two games?
I think they kind of have to open it up, don't you? I mean, you guys kind of have seen the feel back and the feedback, if you will, from just in the area, just the fan base alone, not necessarily happy with the way that they've come out, particularly to start the football games the first 2 weeks of the season. So, yeah, they're going to certainly have to open it up a little bit. But on the other side of the football, I think they finally got an opponent in Spencer Rattler that's going to be willing and daring enough to actually test them vertically down the field. You got to be able to protect long enough. South Carolina not going to be able to do that. But I think there's certainly a few opportunities in this football game where Rattler might be able to break contain or break the rush and then extend with his legs. He's shown the ability to do that certainly over his career. He's got unique, very special arm talent outside of the pocket. So that'd be something I'd look for on Saturday. But just offensively from Georgia, man, going to have to see them open it up and see them have to really rely on a running back room that's really kind of banged up right now. Not a bunch of superstars in that room for the first time really in Kirby Smart's regime at Georgia.
Brooks, it appears that Georgia's never going to be challenged this year during the regular season. Even when you look at the Tennessee team, they don't look the same as they were last year. How good is this team compared to the teams that they would be facing off against, potentially Michigan, USC, Texas? Those are some potential candidates. How do you classify them compared to the previous 2 years?
Well, I mean, we don't know yet because it might be there towards the end of the year. But just those teams you mentioned right there, Michigan, USC, and who, what was the other one you mentioned?
Either Texas.
Way, quarterback yeah. play. Texas, yeah, yeah. Quarterback play is far superior right now in terms of a proven commodity at those three schools than at Georgia. But we don't know what Carson Beck might look like towards November. Man, if he goes into Knoxville and looks really, really good, if he goes into that Tennessee environment and plays well and throws for 300 yards in a contested football game and seems calm as he does currently, then I think you can say that they're on par with those football teams. But man, when I turned the tape on of Michigan in particular this year, I saw a physical football team. But most importantly, like, J.J. McCarthy's an NFL football player, and I didn't necessarily believe that prior to the season. And when I watch the tape now, that guy's special, man. He's got special arm talent. He's a unique athlete. I think the way he's playing this year, he makes Michigan different from a powerhouse standpoint of being able to compete with a team like Georgia. You saw them get into football games the last couple of years where they needed dynamic quarterback play. They couldn't just lean on the run. They finally have that, I think, out there. But we don't really know who Georgia is until October, November every year anyways, I feel like.
Well, Brooks, I'm glad you brought up Michigan and J.J. McCarthy. Should Michigan and Ohio State be concerned from what Drew Aller and Penn State have done so far this year?
I mean, last night we did our top 12 rankings and our CFP top 12, if you will, on our show, and I put Penn State ahead of Ohio State, and Ohio State fans will listen to that, and they'll balk, and they'll say, what the heck is that? And I'll say, well, if you guys play a similar brand of football, and they do, Penn State and Ohio State play a very similar brand of football, well, I like what I've seen from Penn State's offensive line better than what I like from what I've seen from Ohio State's new refound offensive line. I think a lot of people forget they lost three NFL football players on that front five last year, not just quarterback play. And then I look at the quarterback room, and I certainly like what I've seen out of Drew Aller as opposed to Kyle McCord through the first 2 weeks of the season. So, yeah, I like what Penn State has offensively. And, man, if you look at them in years past, they've always had a vertical presence. They've always had burners, man. But they've never really had quarterbacks to actually get them the rock. I think they finally have that.
Brooks, I completely agree with your assessment, and I'm a Buckeye. And I'll tell you what, to me, that was the one thing that completely got overlooked with this team is the offensive line. You lose Jones, who started for the Browns. You have Paris Johnson, who was top with sixth pick, I think, to the Cardinals or wherever he went. Bottom line is it's hard to be able to duplicate that year in and year out. You talked about with Alabama's inconsistency at the quarterback position. When you look around the country right now, is there a team that maybe people are not valuating as well or you think that can kind of surprise some people that's going under the radar for you?
Hey, it's hard to go under the radar, but, man, I love what I've seen from Shedeur Sanders just from a football perspective. Yeah. Like, if you just watch what the dude's doing, week one, TCU rushed three, kind of played soft shell zone, didn't really get after it. Man, he sat back there and processed information, got the ball out to the correct read every single time. And they dropped back 50 times, it felt like, in that football game. And then you watch him this week against Nebraska, and they're firing pressure at him. He's under duress the whole time. And now all of a sudden he becomes this, like, elite athlete, this space creator, this guy that can, like, really extend with his legs, makes a really, like, hellified play on the sideline and throws a touchdown pass. So you're like, oh, wow, that's like real athletics. That's like elite stuff right there. All that to be said, they might lose a couple of football games this year, and they will lose a couple of football games this year because they will get outmatched. They'll have depth issues. They'll have a couple of key injuries. It's football. It'll happen. But they have a quarterback, dude, at Colorado. They have a real NFL quarterback if you watch that guy play. And that gives you a chance in college football every single Saturday. Unless you're Anthony Richardson in Florida last year, and then you're a 500 football team, and I can't really explain that.
Well, Brooks, look, we got to wrap this thing up, but we got to do this again soon because the analysis is incredible. You can check him out. Daily Dog, or Dogs Daily, SI Fan Nation, Director of Recruiting, also YouTube, the Film Guy Network. I got to get more insight from some more of these teams, so maybe we'll chat again next week. Tremendous stuff as always. Go follow our guy Brooks out on social media, on X, at Brooks Austin BA. Appreciate you doing that, man.
Yeah, boys, we'll see y'all soon.
Thank you.
Man, that was some good stuff. Shedeur, he answered all these questions I was going to ask him about Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Because he would know as a recruiting guy just how much they're overachieving, and he puts it right on the quarterback's shoulders. Coming up next, the guy who knows about putting things on quarterback's shoulders. That sounds weird. Jay Gruden on the other side. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live from downtown Las Vegas, that's right, it's Sharp Money. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Amal Shaw. We've got you for a couple more hours here on the program and really thrilled to welcome in our next guest here, former head coach in the National Football League. So much success there. Also an Arena Football League legend. A lot of people sleep on that. We've got Jay Gruden with us on the phone. Coach, thanks for joining us today. Want to ask you first things first. Obviously, last night, the big story, Aaron Rodgers going down with the Achilles injury and Zach Wilson stepping in to what looks like a really good situation with a loaded Jets defense, but also some more weapons on offense. Want to get your take first thing first on Zach Wilson. Do you think the skills are there for him to be a productive and winning quarterback in the NFL?
Well, he definitely has a skill set. He was drafted pretty high. So that's not the question. The question is the experience that he has in the system. He's got a new system with Nathaniel Hackett. It's tough for young quarterbacks, and they struggled last year. He struggled in all his starts, basically. So he's got to step up. Their defense is playing extremely well. That's well documented. Don't turn the ball over, Zach. Let your defense win some games. Hand that ball off to that Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook guy and win some close, tight games.
Coach, how do you get the team to mentally rebound after a tremendous win against a division opponent that you've been kind of looking up to the last couple of seasons? Now you've got to go on the road for arguably their toughest test of the season, potentially, coming up against the Dallas team coming off a 40-0 victory.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's just the way pro football is, though. Anybody who's coached or played in this for long enough knows that injuries are part of the game. You hate to lose your best player, though. That's a gut-wrencher. But guys have to step up. It's next man up mentality and all 32 teams, and that's the way it is going to be for the Jets.
Another talking point coming off of Monday Night Football. Coach Jay Gruden with us here on Sharp Money. Josh Allen, the turnovers. I get when coaches evaluate him and they look at the film and they look at all the physical attributes, the size, the arm strength, the speed, the ability to make plays with his feet. But what is it you're seeing when you see him continuously make these mistakes that lead to turnovers?
He just forces the issue a little bit too much for my liking and anybody's liking, quite frankly. However, when he does his thing outside the pocket and he runs people over for first downs and scrambles and throws darts to Stephon Diggs and the rest of the crew, you love him. Some of these things you're going to have to deal with and overcome as a team. Defense are going to have to step up when he turns it over. But it's hard to reel a guy like that in because he's so dangerous outside the pocket. You can't just say, hey, throw it away, Josh, when he could have run for 15 yards, because that's what he does. That's a fine line. It's very difficult to coach, but you got to let Josh be Josh, and hopefully he corrects the mistakes that he made last night.
Coach, I know it's only one game, but going back to the postseason game against Cincinnati, it just seems like there's something missing with this Buffalo Bills team going forward. Is it maybe something that you're seeing or noticing that seems a little bit different, or maybe am I just kind of overstating the fact with this team right now based on their last two performances?
Yeah, they struggle. They split the Jets last year, and they didn't have Aaron Rodgers either. Similar type situation. They turned the ball over. They were sacked a lot on first down, and the Jets played great defense. If you turn the ball over against the Jets four times, you're not going to beat them. You're just not going to beat anybody. So that is the bottom line. He's got to protect the ball. They have the makings of being a contender for the Super Bowl, for the division winner. There's no doubt about it. Their defense still played very well. They had a good pass rush, good secondary. Offensively, they got skilled guys all over the place. So just got to correct the turnovers. They'll be fine.
Yeah, the situation coming out of Monday Night Football makes things really interesting in the AFC, Coach. You've got the Jets now without their guy in Aaron Rodgers, the Bills coming off a loss, and that leads us to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are now the favorite in the AFC East. They win on the road in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Tua just looks awesome. When you see that offense, what concepts do you see that are making Tua so successful at getting the ball to the guys like Hill and Waddle and making big plays? What is it Miami does best on offense that puts him in the right position?
I'll tell you what, they move him around a lot, and that's very important. You don't leave him stuck in one spot where you can double him. They put him in fast motions. They motion him to the slot, from the slot to outside, from the backfield to the slot, and it's fast motion, so it's hard to get hands on him. If he gets free releases on the line of scrimmage, he's a tough guy to cover across the field. Now, when he is in stagnant positions and you play bump and run on him, he's got great releases. He could beat you deep like he did against the Chargers. He's a dynamic player. And if you do start to double him, they have another guy that can hurt you as well, and Jalen Waddle. So just an explosive offense. But I really got to comment on Tua, the way he played that game. His accuracy, his anticipation, his ability to step up in the pocket. I mean, what a transformation he's made from having a couple injuries. He had confidence. It was an awesome game by Tua. Obviously, Tyreek is awesome, but Tua played really, really well.
Cincinnati Bengals struggled on Sunday. A little bit of the weather, and the Bengals have traditionally, under Zach Taylor, gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. Any particular reason why a team of this type of talent just seems to struggle out of the block early on?
That's the biggest head-scratcher to me. I mean, you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You got three of the best receivers in the league. You got a heck of a back. To get 0 points and 80 yards passing, I don't understand it. They didn't really attack Cleveland. I think they try to keep short intermediate passes because they were concerned about the pass rush, and deservedly so. Cleveland has a great pass rush, but eventually you're going to have to attack vertically. They didn't really do that except for a couple fades, back shoulder fades they tried down the sideline. So they got to do a better job of attacking secondaries and letting Joe Burrow step up and make some throws. But the Lions got to play better without a doubt.
We've got Coach Jay Gruden with us here, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw. Coach, scheming it up. That was a theme for me this summer on the show, these quarterbacks that have these unique skill sets and scheming it up. And when I watched Anthony Richardson and I watched Justin Fields over the weekend, I was kind of shocked at the way they were schemed up, not utilizing their legs more and more designed runs and more RPO. How would you use two guys like that can use their legs in Anthony Richardson and Justin Fields? And if there was anything you saw over the weekend that you would do differently with them?
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in the Bears, the way they attacked. I think I agree with you there. Anthony's his first year. Justin's been there a while now. They should be able to do some more things with them in the passing game. They got to get the ball to DJ more. They paid a high price to get him. They got to challenge the quarterback a little bit. Justin Fields needs to be challenged a little bit. Let him try to make some throws down the field, see what happens. And if they're not there, he can use his legs and escape and do some great things outside the pocket. But they can't be afraid and hold his hand any longer. They got to turn him loose and let him play. And Anthony, it's his first game ever in pro football. I don't really fault the Colts right now in the way they're using him. I think you will see more design quarterback runs, but you also want to keep him healthy. There's a fine line in these design quarterback runs and zone reads. But with Anthony Richardson's skill set, you definitely have to utilize his power and his speed.
Coach, when you look at the Atlanta Falcons offense, there's a ton of talent there. But, man, it seems like Desmond Ridder's driving with the emergency brake on. How does this team get better with a great play caller and Arthur Smith? But Desmond Ridder just doesn't want to seem to push the ball down the field outside of that one throw to Pitts.
Yeah, he's got a ways to go. I mean, he's another young player that I think people have got, unrealistic expectations for him to just turn into Matt Ryan right away. You know, it's going to take some time, but again, he's an athletic guy. The strength of their team is a running game. They got two excellent backs, so they got to keep giving them the ball the way they did in Tennessee with Derrick Henry. I think you'll see similar type play action passes eventually where he can push the ball down the field, but really it's up to Robinson. It's up to Tyler to really get this team in positions to win in the fourth quarter, and then they got to play good defense as well.
I don't know if you've seen enough of Ridder to make an assessment on him. Is he, in your estimation, a guy that can be the guy, or is it maybe too early to call what he is potentially, or maybe you're just like, hey, he's not the guy for us, and they eventually have to go get a quarterback?
Yeah, where are you going to go? Nowhere to go. Some of these young quarterbacks, they need time to develop, and then after a couple of years, two or three years, and if you want to wipe the slate clean, then you go try to draft one. But, good luck getting one in with the 15th pick or the 20th pick in the draft or what have you. I mean, there's a really, really good one coming out of USC. If you want to lose every game on person, I'd recommend that on purpose and do that. But otherwise, you're kind of stuck with what you have. You got to develop them in-house.
Well, speaking of quarterback development, we saw a guy who's been developed on the sidelines in Green Bay for a few years have a really good, debut for the season. 15 of 27 for Jordan Love, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 245 yards. What did you see you liked? What did you see you didn't like? And what do you think the ceiling is for a guy like Jordan Love?
I think that was one of the most impressive performances other than Tua that I saw of the week, and Matthew Stafford. Jordan came out with a lot of confidence. He let the ball fly. You love to see young quarterbacks come and stick their foot in the ground and let it rip. And they had a couple of well-designed plays. They got Musgrave wide open down the left sideline for an easy completion for a long game. But for the most part, I like the command that he had on the offense. His accuracy, his anticipation was great. He's just got to keep moving forward and protect that football.
Coach, if you had your druthers, would you rather have quarterbacks sit like Jordan Love did, maybe not necessarily as long as he did, or would you want them in the fire like Richardson, Stroud, and Young right away?
It depends. If I had a great guy, if I had Aaron Rodgers, then sure, I'd let him sit. You know, it was great for Patrick Mahomes to sit a year behind Alex Smith. I think that helped his development a lot. But some of these athletic quarterbacks have the ability to play a little sooner than some of these true drop-back quarterbacks because they can do the design runs, the Jalen Hurts type stuff with the quarterback runs and Cam Newton, what he used to do. True drop-back quarterbacks, it takes a little bit more time to get the protections, get the route concepts, the anticipation, get your receiver timing right. But these athletic quarterbacks, they can play, but you're going to struggle. I mean, young quarterbacks are going to struggle. It's the history of the league. Not many first-year, second-year, third-year guys have gone to Super Bowls. There's been a couple elite ones that are obviously proven to be elite, but over the course in the history of the league, not many.
Coach, last question, got about 45 seconds here. If you're Brian Daboll coming off a Sunday Night Football loss 40-0 to division rival the Dallas Cowboys, how do you rally the team to bounce back from that?
I think they should rally regardless. You lose 40-0 to division rival, I think everybody should be ready to come back to work that night and get that thing fixed. They have the makings to do that. They played very well last year. They just got stuck behind the eight ball against the Cowboys. When you get into known passing situations against the Cowboys, you're dead. You're going to get your quarterback killed. You have to stay ahead of the chains. You have to stay close in the football game. You got to utilize your running backs. You got to utilize play actions. Get your quarterback outside the pocket. Otherwise, you're a sitting duck back there. That's what happened to the Giants. I think that was an anomaly. But they do got to get better. They have to get better on the outside. They got to help Darren Waller. He's the only legitimate target they look like they have. Campbell, Slayton, Hodgins, they got to do better. Yeah. They got to get open for Jones.
Coach, I'm a Giants fan. I agree completely, and the O-line is an issue. Coach, you're the best. Thanks so much for doing this. We'll chat with you again down the road, maybe in a few weeks, look back at some more NFL games. A little college football talk on the other side. It's VSiN.
is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games, and who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SHARP to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's only on DraftKings Sportsbook using the code SHARP. It's Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson alongside Amal Shaw. Thrilled to bring in our next guest here, one of my favorite people to watch his content. I don't watch a ton of sports content. I mostly consume comedy content. But if I'm going to get some sports info, I want it from someone who knows a lot more than me, especially at the quarterback position because I can't even throw a spiral. That's Tim Jenkins, All Things QB film analyst. That's the YouTube channel, All Things QB, also trains QBs full-time. Tim, thanks for joining us today. Obviously, one of the big talking points coming off Monday Night Football is Zach Wilson stepping in now for Aaron Rodgers. If I remember correctly, you like the skill set that Wilson possesses. Want to get your take on if he has enough in the arsenal to take this Jets team to the postseason and how you think they should scheme him up going forward.
Yeah, I think, first and foremost, that was a bummer to see Rodgers go down because I think that was a heck of a storyline. I also think it'll be interesting, though. Zach now is kind of in a position that he's not used to, right? Whereas previous years, it's been one of those things that everyone's talking about him, and it's like, hey, if you go out there and you play well, we're going to be successful. And now it's more or less like, hey, we weren't planning on playing you, so just go out there and kind of sling it, right? You can kind of turn it free. Because if we're being honest, we didn't really expect him to play at all. So I think there's maybe a different perspective for him. In terms of if he can get it done, I think the reality is they were on the cusp last year. So I think if we just see a little bit of growth from the decision-making process, which hopefully is expedited from watching Rodgers and being in the same film room, and then still, you know, Rodgers is hurt, but he's not on the team anymore, right? He's still there as an advocate in your corner, like, hey, you know, this is what they did to us last year. He can still help him get caught up to speed in Coach Hackett's system, because that was part of the marriage too, right? Was Hackett coming back to New York, or not back to New York, but getting back with Rodgers, is because Rodgers is so comfortable with his system. Well, now, you know, he still has Rodgers to kind of bounce things off of, like, hey, you know, when you guys ran this look against whoever, what was the look they gave you? And then Rodgers can give him input. So I think it's going to help. Does he have enough firepower to now all of a sudden make them contenders in the AFC? I think the unfortunate truth for Jets fans is no, and I just think that's because the AFC is loaded, right? I don't think it's anything against Zach. I just think when you look at the gauntlet that you have to get through to win the AFC, like the team that I would tell you too is the Dolphins, right? You look at what Tua's doing, especially against the Chargers, and I just think you sit there and you go, man, the AFC is so loaded, it's tough for me to really say I see a Zach Wilson-led team make the jump over some of these more established guys.
Tim, want to switch gears a little bit, go to the NFC. Interesting matchup between the Packers and Bears on Sunday. Two quarterbacks, there was a ton of anticipation around between Jordan Love and Justin Fields. Packers win the game, so let's go to the Bears side of this with Justin Fields. Assess for me what you saw out of Justin Fields, what you thought, and then the Matt Eberflus and company, the coaching and overall this Bears offense.
Yeah, I had a hit on Chicago earlier this morning, and I told them I'll take half of what Eberflus is making if they need me to fill in, right? I just think when you turn on that tape, it's tough. It's the thing that I think is so discouraging for Bears fans is I can't come on here and tell you it's one thing. Justin missed, I'd tell you, at least four wide-open guys that are in his progression. It's not like the screenshot where you screenshot and you go, oh, look, this guy was open. Because that's, you know, we all know that's unrealistic, right? Sometimes my eyes aren't there. But these are in his progression. No matter what NFL system that you're in, you're supposed to look there. So he had four misses. Then you have two situations where we have guys unaccounted for from a protection standpoint. We have no sight adjust built in. That's OC head coach, right? And then you have four more times where you're like, we just miss guys up front, just straight up missed assignments from our O-line. So it's like when you compound all those, it's hard to really pull any positives because you go like, hey, even if Justin gets it figured out, we still have six plays that are horrible, right? And you just can't win NFL games like that. So, you know, that one's a tough one. I do think the silver lining is Mooney. I think when you look at a guy like Darnell Mooney, I think he's starting to show you how good he can be as that number two or number three receiver now that he has a bona fide one outside with DJ Moore. I think that's really going to help him. He's a guy that production-wise, you know, for the fantasy guys out there or, you know, the over-under catches, yards, he's the kind of guy that I'd look at because I think he's going to be really undervalued. But I think he's someone that when they force him with DJ Moore outside and Chase Claypool opposite, you really got to play man coverage on him. Well, he's a nightmare matchup for a safety. And then if you put your nickel on him, I just don't see a world in which, okay, so you put your nickel on him, which means we plus our backer away from him. Now he has all this space and no one can run with him. So he's a guy that I'd look to have for a big year. And I think that's still their saving grace of if they can get this thing tied together. But then also if you're a Packers fan, I thought Jordan Love looked solid, man. I think he was the one, if you were to tell me, hey, Tim, who has a better day between Fields and Love going into it, I would have gone Fields. And the reality is Love, I think, more or less put a darn near perfect decision game on tape. There were still some misses that, you know, I don't think Green Bay fans are used to seeing miss because they've gone from Favre to Rodgers, right? But yeah. I think the reality is that kid did enough to where if you're a Packers fan, you've got to be really excited for not the long-term future, but the near-term future.
We've got Tim Jenkins, quarterback trainer, all things QB on YouTube, film analyst on the line. I want to make sure we get this in because you're based in Colorado. You did a lot of preseason work looking at Shedeur Sanders. So far, the Buffs are 2-0. The schedule's about to get harder, though, Tim. What are you seeing from the concept Sean Lewis is throwing at him at the quarterback, Shedeur Sanders? And do you think this is sustainable as the talent level of the competition goes up into Pac-12 play?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you guys. If you would have asked me last week, I would have said absolutely not because what they did on tape against TCU was so simple. They just played fast. The concepts were simple. And then all of a sudden they bounce back against Nebraska. And I'm telling you, we saw at least four different like NFL concepts. They're running like machete with double deep overs. They're running samurai. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is insane because the week before I said the only thing that I want to see more of is NFL concepts because I think not only does it help the offense, but I think it helps Shedeur's draft stock, right? And like, again, not that that's what all college coaches should care about, but they should care a little bit about, hey, let's put our guy in a good position. And then the next week they roll it out. So there's two things we know. CU's going to innovate their offense, change their game plan week in and week out. So when you're a DC prepping for that, that's impossible, right? Especially with how fast they're playing, which then forces you into a lot of base defense. So that's the first thing we know. The second thing we know is there's some poor CU film intern who's got to watch my stuff every week, and we got to just be praying for him because we know that's a hard watch, and the poor kid's got to watch it week in and week out apparently.
Tim, when you look around right now at some of these guys, who are at the collegiate level? Who's impressed you? How about Quinn Ewers? He had a great game against Alabama. Did he stand out to you so far, what he's done, or was that just a combination of maybe some blown coverages by Bama?
Yeah, that's a great question, too, because Quinn was one of those guys. You turn on the Rice tape and you go, I think Texas is going to get beat by 100, right, when they go play Alabama. And then all of a sudden you turn on the Bama tape, it's a completely different team. I think a lot of that credit goes to one Quinn, but I think Sark, right? I think he goes in there. He's one of those guys who could probably look his guys in the eyes and say, I know what it takes to gash Bama because I've been with Nick for so long. So then all of a sudden, you know, it's not Nick Saban. It's just this guy I coached with who we know how to scheme him up. And then you compound that with, like, if you're calling a spade, just terrible quarterback play from Alabama, right? The fact that, and, like, I get it, the dual-threat guys have hurt Bama in the past, so then, you know, you see maybe a dual-threat guy, but it's hard for me to believe that you're the best program in the country, you can go recruit anyone on planet Earth, and then, you know, hey, the best guy we have right now is going to sail, you know, sail routes and deep overs and we're going to miss all these throws. Like, that's tough for me to believe. And then unfortunately it's just where Bama's at right now. I think when you put together, hey, Sark knows how to game plan, Quinn had a really good game from a decision making and accuracy standpoint, And then you compound it with, like, listen, I just think Bama's offense, you know, I don't know. There's, like, a lot there, and I don't want to sit here and, like, take shots at people, but it's like you sit there and you're like, I've never turned on Notre Dame tape and been like, man, their offense is something I really want to mimic, right? And then it's like, well, we're going to go poke their coordinator. It's just like there's some decisions that I just don't feel like are adding up for a quality offense.
No, Tim, we agree. Look, we're out of time, dude. We got to do this again in a few weeks. We don't have enough time in 1 second with you. The analysis is spot on. Check him out on YouTube, All Things QB. That's Tim Jenkins. We'll talk a little more college football coming up next. Can Texas not get too high off the Alabama win? That's next.